So, Danny, the last time we talked, we were talking about Carbon, which was the first installment in this mythological world, so to speak, and now comes Salt. Take us to the world. Let's start with Carbon. Describe that world for us, what happened, and then get us into where we're going with Salt.
Carbon was a story that I had nearly 30 years after living in Williamson and seeing the destruction of strip mining and those kinds of things. But in the movie world, as a filmmaker, I was never going to be able to have the kind of budget to do something that big. And then when I got into comics, it's like, oh man, this I finally can. So it's gods, monsters, and evil coal barons. So I started thinking about, as an entertainer, you know, coal. What is coal? Coal is organic material. It's plants, animals, people. What if it came back to life and ignited by an evil industrial power? So that launches the Carbon, which leads through into Salt with the lead character Heat Hatfield, who's, and you're right, it's a mythological approach with it. It's the tragic hero turned to epic hero.
There are some really heavy things going on here. I mean, for one, you know, there's sort of an apocalyptic vibe going on here. I mean, there, you know, in this one, there's some issues of climate change, global warming. Talk for a little bit about, you know, trying to use a platform like a graphic novel for a subject matter that is so socially, you know, ubiquitous at this point, so to speak.
It is so hard to digest. Who wants to turn on TV anymore? You know, after the last election, it's the last thing you want to bring joy in your life. So it's difficult for a creator. And I don't know if I was successful, but okay, how do you make these topics entertaining? That's number one. Number one, if it's not entertaining, you're not going to bring people to it, and hopefully at least through the back door. But I mean, climate change, you mentioned, if you're a climate denier, this is no starter for us. But if you turn on TV right now and watch the Weather Channel with this new hurricane system coming through, even in a very stable society like ours, we're only a few clicks from melting down, you know, both politically, environmentally, all of those kinds of things.
There's one scene in particular I do want to address here, and that is a moment that particularly addresses issues of race. It's one of those things that, you know, whenever you talk to people about issues of race in West Virginia, you hear one of two things oftentimes. One of the things that you hear is, you know, normally from an outsider sort of perspective, I would say that West Virginia is very overtly racist, that, you know, that we're a bunch of hillbillies that are ignorant and have no progressive ideas as far as dealing with race. And then on the other hand, you hear something to the effect of there's such a low minority population that, you know, race isn't an issue here. It seems like you're trying to respond to seemingly both sides of that in this particular scene in some fashion or another.
I am, and thanks for picking up on that, David. It's a sticky wicket, and it was when I was writing this, I realized, man, I have my entire teaching career, 32 years with a historically black college university, lived in Tanzania. I live in a black community by choice. And when you're around that community, you start hearing those things. Oh, we're all black in coal mines. You know, we come out that way, so we're not racist, that kind of thing. And then you start to hear it's like, no, not really. That's only if you're white. And I realize the white privilege that I carried that I didn't really acknowledge. And I really wanted a scene. I don't know if I was successful, but I wanted that scene with Willie Mays Vincent, who's like one of the main heroes of this whole epic thing. With the scene with Heat Hatfield, the main character, where he says, "Well, you're my best friend." Well, that's that stereotype people always say. I'm not prejudiced. Look at my best friend. Well, no, you need to look at these things a little bit deeper.
Right before we started speaking, you handed me a sheet of paper. It's essentially just a one sheet, more or less a press release, so to speak, that deals with the Trump administration and how that's playing a role in making dystopian literature, you know, interesting and marketable again, would be another word. What can you say, you know, at least in your experience as a creator, as a graphic novelist, as a filmmaker, as a person that's delved into that particular aspect of art, or at least that kind of art, how's the relationship with the administration affecting the marketability or the conversation surrounding, you know, what it is that you're doing?
Well, commercially, I probably shouldn't tell you, but I'm stand by this. I didn't think these things would happen, much of this. If you read the interview done with me at the end of SALT, I'm saying, hey, look, West Virginia's got the short end of the stick, America. How about Hillary? I said, Hillary, how about helping us out, you know, and giving us a stimulus package after we built the country? So that's how little that I thought that this would happen.
But this was obviously this took place before the election.
You talk about bad luck timing. My book came out the day after the election.
Oh wow.
Oh, you talk about sucking the oxygen out of the room.
Wow.
So these were like the most far-fetched things. But I will also tell you would think, okay, well that I shouldn't talk about this commercially. But what I was saying is like. Man, that cha-ching, that should really help. First of all, I don't want these bad things to happen. But secondly, no, it's not. You know, you have to bring it back around. Okay, don't forget, this is entertainment. And if it could bring in a little of the H.G. Wells things to come kind of angle.
One of the things I look at in SALT, it's a story that seems like it's still not finished. Is that right? Is there more coming from this storyline? I look at Carbon, you know, I knew at the time that SALT was going to be coming next. Where does this story sit at the moment?
Well, it has an ending, and I know we won't. It's a big, big, big ending in it, so I hope that'll encourage people out to get the books, and we won't give it away, but it opens up another door. We always think things are black and white. It's this or it's that. We're very arrogant to think that we'll destroy the earth. We can't destroy the earth. We can destroy humankind as we know it. So it's not just will we destroy humankind or will we not. It's like, well, is there something in the middle? And we're hinting a little at evolution here. And again, this mythological, that's probably as much as I want to talk about the ending.
And we'll leave it with that. Danny Boyd, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.